Okay, good morning. I trust that you are all well and you feel blessed. But I want to encourage us and challenge us this morning. One of the words, if you like, the thing that's been going through my mind is for such a time as this. And even in the most unexpected times, I find myself saying for such a time as this. And this has happened for such a time as this. And I've obviously been praying about certain things over the last year or two. And there's been some sifting and there's been some shaking and there's been some moving. And there's been some great revelation. And there's been some times of immense joy through the challenges for such a time as this. And I want to bring yet another portion of scripture to us that we are all familiar with, I'm sure, if we've been in church any length of time. But I've realised myself, there are things you can see, but you don't actually see them clearly. There's things you know, but you don't fully know what God wants you to know about it. I'll give you an example. We're all familiar with that portion of scripture that says, I am the vine, you are the branches. As long as you remain in me, you will bear good fruit. You will produce things. Well, just through the mundane task of thinning out my tomato plants, I know, I cut a limb off, and within probably a minute, it was already dying. And it spoke to me afresh about that portion of scripture. How true that is. We only have to be away from the Lord for just a moment, and things start to die. I was chuckling to myself when Christine brought that testimony of touch wood, well, wood is dead. And I always used to marvel at the portion of scripture in Old Testament where it said, and they got the piece of wood and they cut it in half and they fashioned an idol and worshipped half and then cooked breakfast on the other half. I mean, and people say that they have trouble with believing in Christianity. Now, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to read a story from Judges. You're familiar with it. It's to do with Gideon. And I want to start at Judges 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress. I just want to pause there because you may know this, but you may not know this. You don't normally thresh wheat in a winepress. Wheat is usually threshed on the high point so that when it's thrown in the air, the wind will blow the chaff away and the wine is usually pressed down the bottom of the valley because that means the heavy loads come down instead of having to take them up. And here was this man, Gideon, in the wine press threshing wheat. Why, I hear you ask. I'm glad you asked me. We'll go up to the beginning of this verse and read it. It's Judges 6. 6 verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we heard during communion how God's got a plan for his people. And one of the things we need to understand, or just want to remind us, because we do understand this, is when we talk about God's people, through the new covenant, through the blood that's shed, not by animals, but by the precious blood that's shed by Jesus Christ, we are now part of his family, aren't we? So when we talk about the family of believers, it's us as well. But we know when we look through the Old Testament and we're talking about the Israelites, it's the chosen people. It's those that God has set aside. And during the because of the Old Testament covenant, we've been set aside also. So some of those truths are also true for us today. Some of the revelations that were received then are revealed to us today. We're told, we're encouraged not to throw out the old and just rely on the new, but bring the two together. So I want you to open your ears and listen to what God is saying through these portions of scripture, and maybe one or two words from me. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. For 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. So what we see straight away here is when we're cut off from the vine, when we separate ourselves from God, we start to die. And that's what happened here. Because the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain cliffs, caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites and Amalekites and often eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and they ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. Whatever they did was ruined. Livestock was killed, crops were destroyed from Gaza. They did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkey. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them. Or their camels. They invaded the land and they ravaged it. Midian was so impoverished the Israelites, that they cried out to the Lord for help. Pause. I want to suggest sometimes in our Christian walk, and I know it's been true in my walk, sometimes we're so familiar with the blessings of God. We're so familiar with being told that we are blessed, and we are blessed. But we can become so familiar with it that we miss the everyday small things. We miss the fact that if he is for us, who can be against us? We miss the fact that in our weakness we can become strong because of his strength that's in us. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We can miss those things. And it's when we remove ourselves from allowing God to work in our lives, we start to see things devastated. We start to see things that we never used to see before. And it's not until we hit that rock bottom that for some of us and for some of God's people, they cry out to the Lord. Yet God wants us to cry out to him in the good times as well as the not so good times. But what we have here is a chosen people that through history have seen the power of God. And Gideon says himself, as we read down, they know the power of God, yet they've not turned their back on God, but they've started to do things their way. And as they start to do things their way, things started to go wrong. But then they came to that point where they were so impoverished, they were so devastated, they were so tired of hiding that they called to the Lord for help. So I want to suggest to us as people here listening that we don't leave it that long. If there's something that's happening in your life, don't wait until you hit that rock bottom. Stand on the rock and call out to the Lord. Don't wait until everything is gone, until the enemy's trying to destroy you. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. That's quite a good thing, isn't it? Can you imagine? You go, God, I need help, and he sends you a prophet. Well, we've got his prophetic word, haven't we? He's already sent it. It's his Bible. It's his word. There are times he'll give us the written word and the rhema word. There will be times there'll be a revelation. There will be times where there'll be a man or a woman that will come up to you and say, I don't know if this makes any sense, but I believe the Lord is saying it. There's times that God brings a man and a woman in our midst, isn't there? For such a time as this. There's been times in my life where I've been praying and I just needed to hear a voice. I just didn't want a feeling. And I won't mention names, but I was at a meeting many, many years ago, and it was a time where we were told that God is blessing his people through these prophetic ministries. And I'm in this building, and this person is praying for everybody. And he walks straight past me. And I'm going, and I say this out loud, because it was a noisy place. I said, Lord, why are you passing me by? And then this man came up to me and he said, I don't know if this means anything to you, but God said, he's not passing you by. Oh, and by the way, he says, how big a building do you want? Because if you want something that's going to last, you need to dig a big foundation. See, there are times where God will send an individual, isn't there? But there's also, he sent us his word. So we don't need to be constantly saying, Lord, send me a word. Lord, give me a prophetic statement. He's already given it to us. And if we read it, we will receive it. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt. He's reminding him of the blessings he had on his people. Out of the land of slavery. In other words, you've been set free. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, reminding him. And there's times that if we read God's word, we'll be reminded. Just when we do the simple things in life, like prune our plants and look at the bit that's been cut off and see how quickly it deteriorates. God can speak to us through anything. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. Do not worship other gods. And there are times, there again, nothing gets wasted. Just using that story about touch wood. There are times where we can be, if we're not careful, so easily influenced by things that are dead instead of through things that are alive. Things that are dead instead of things that are alive. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me, the prophet says. You've not listened to the Lord. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where the son of Gideon was threshing. When the angel of the Lord, in verse 12, appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And whenever I read this portion of scripture, I put myself in Gideon's position. What do you mean, mighty warrior? I am the least of my family. I'm the shortest in my family, apart from my extended family now, my own personal family. Karis is now the smallest. But I am the smallest. I am the most insignificant. When I was at school, can you remember where you'd have two lines of people, and if you was playing football, they'd say, I'll have him and I'll have him. You had two captains. No one wanted me. I know. I was rubbish. I couldn't sing then, Emma. I couldn't play football. I couldn't do sports. The one thing I had, which you may be surprised about, was a loud voice. And I got chosen to be the town crier in the plays. I got chosen in the nativity to be the one that says, hear ye, O yea, cometh the Lord. And maybe that's what God had called me for. When I look at this here, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That's for all of us. That is the gospel. That's what God saved us for, because he's anointed me and he's anointed you. And here's this man feeling maybe sorry for himself, feeling that he needs to hide away in the winepress so that he's not attacked because he's fearful. And God comes and meets with him and he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And there's times where we can feel so weak. But I want to encourage you that it's at those times when we feel weak, if we will rely upon God, we'll realize that the strength doesn't come from us, it comes from him. There are times that we can take what God has given us and use it, yes. But the scripture says this, doesn't it? When Samuel was to anoint the next king, and he went to choose the next king, and he said, is there anyone left? And they said, yeah, there's one more. It's just the insignificant one, using paraphrasing, the small one, the runt of the litter, the youngest. He's just looking after the few sheep. And what did he say? He said, we're not going to sit until he comes. And he says this, he said, man looks at the outward and God looks at the heart. God knew this man's heart and he knows your heart, he knows my heart. And I want to say, if he is for you, who can be against you? If he is in you, then he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So I can say to you with confidence, just as the prophet, the angel of the Lord, said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And you may say, what, me, Pastor? Yes, you. All things are possible for those that believe. Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Do you believe that Jesus has done what he said he has done? Do you believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do? Do you believe that he has not come to condemn the world but to save the world, but there is a judgment coming? Do you believe that for such a time as this, that we can be his mouthpiece, we can be his voice, we can be his hands, we can be his feet, we can be his pockets? Do you believe that, mighty warrior and warrioress, if that's a word? I want to get it politically right. Pardon me, Lord, Gideon replied, and I would do the same. But if the Lord is with me, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Has he got a short memory? There are times that I meet Christians in my life that when things are going well, they go, praise God. But when things go wrong, they go, I don't know if I can believe in a God that will allow my loved one to die. I don't know if I can believe in a God that will cause me to lose my job. I don't know if I can believe in a God. And they've just left their wife, or they've just left their husband, or they've just done something which is sinful in the eyes of the Lord. Has he got a short memory? You've only got to read up Gideon to see what happened. They did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord took his hand off them. And so often in life, in church life, and in individual lives, and in corporate ministry, there are times where we can say, yes, God loves us, yes, but there are times where our sin will separate us from God, and that's what was happening here. And he didn't realise it, yet by the grace of God, God still knew his heart. By the grace of God, he didn't judge him according to what all the people did. See, God judges us, or he examines us, should I say, on an individual basis. He don't hold me fully accountable for someone else's wrongdoing. He holds me accountable for my words and my actions. It's the same for you. So it's a timely reminder of saying, yes, God is all powerful. Yes, God has done this in the past. How many of us, you don't need to put your hand up, but how many of us have experienced the hand of God in our lives? We've prayed for the miraculous, and the miraculous has appeared. We've prayed for the increase, and the increase has come. We've prayed for grace, and God has been gracious. We've prayed that God would open up the way, and he's opened up the way. And then there comes a time where things don't go the way that we would want them to go. The things around us seem to be falling to bits. I'm not as healthy as I once was. I've suffered in this way. We have this pandemic, and now I'm a bit fearful, and I never used to be fearful. God, where are you? Well, Gideon was the one that was hiding, not God. Remember when in Genesis, where it talks about Adam and Eve, and they felt short of the promises of God. They were told not to do something, and they did something. They were hiding from God. God wasn't hiding from them. Where are you, Adam? Oh, I'm here. I was afraid because I'm naked. Who told you he was naked? See, God's not hiding from us, is he? But there are times if we're not careful. This is a good word, by the way. This is to encourage us. There are times that we hide from God, and we think he doesn't see us. If I sit behind here, if I get in this wine press, and I just fresh my wee, he won't know I'm here. Well, God knows where we are. But he also knows our hearts. You know, and if our hearts are right, then we're never going to be forsaken. We're always going to be encouraged. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you. I will be with you. See, that's the difference between failure and success. God's with us. God's with you, isn't he? There you go. If he be for you, who can be against you? The Authorized Version. Thus saith the Lord. That's true though, isn't it? And that there are times, for such a time as this, we may be feeling weak in certain areas of life. But if God is for us, then who can be against us? It's for such a time as this that God has brought us to this point. The Lord answered, I will be with you. Now I just want to say one or two things, because I want to sort of save half of this for next week, if it's possible. But we know that this is a story about a fleece, isn't it, as well? That Gideon would say, okay, if you really picked me, if you really want me to go, I want you to give me a sign. So I'm going to get this fleece and I'm going to put it out, and I want the ground all around it to be wet and the fleece to be dry, and the opposite, the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. And I read this portion of scripture, and I liken it to the story of David and Goliath. Now bear with me, because I'm wondering where I'm going with this, so I'm sure you are. But so often we see that people say that David was the weak one and Goliath the strong one. No, I don't believe that. I believe David was the strong one and Goliath was the weak one. Why? Because God was with David. You see, we can look with our eyes, can't we? And we can see what we want to see instead of what God wants us to see. See, you look at yourself maybe sometimes, like I do, and you see someone that's weak. Well, if you're weak in your natural ability, then allow God to come in and strengthen you. I can't do this anymore. Good, I'm here to help you. You see, David was the strong one because he had God with him. Who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is, coming against the armies of the living God? He ran towards him, not from him. So when I look at this with Gideon, and this is where I'm going with this, I just want to read this out in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Verse 10. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong, Paul says. He's understood what it is to be in plenty and to be in lack. Now getting back to Gideon. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 6, it says this. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a person is to be put to death. But no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Now, the reason I read that out is this. This is just what I see. Whenever I hear Gideon preached, I hear it said that he had no faith. He was testing God. I don't believe he was. Because I've put myself in his position. And there's been some things in life that God has asked me to do. And I have said, "Lord, speak to me. Bring a witness. Bring a confirmation. Bring somebody. Say something. Give me a dream. Give me a vision. Because I will do what you've called me to do if I know it's you." Because there is a counterfeit out there, isn't there? So it may be that, let's say, now this isn't a prophecy, okay? Let's say that God says to you, "I want you to bless Andrew with £1,000. That's not prophetic. Right? Are you just going to go, "Okay, God," and write the check out? Or are you going to go, "Is this really you, Lord? Is this really you? If it is, I want to be obedient, but I want to know it's you." Does that make sense? So I want to use this portion of scripture with Gideon to say it's okay, I believe, put it in context, it's okay not to test God, but just to say, "Lord, I want to be sure, because this is a big thing that you've asked me to do. Because I only have £1,100, and you're asking me to give 1,000 of it. And I will be obedient, but I need to know it's you." Is that okay, isn't it? So if God asks you to do something for such a time as this, then I think, check it out with scripture, but I think it's okay to say, "Lord, can I have a witness? Can I have a witness on that?" I can remember through our life, Susan and I, and there was a situation where I was asked to give something. And Susan came to me and she said, "I think we should give such and such something." And I went, "Yeah, me too. I've got a figure in my mind. What have you got? Let's write it down," and they're exactly the same. "Okay, then we'll give." There was a time where I was asked to give a car, my car that I had. And I'm going, "God, is this really you?" And it was. So it's okay. So I want to use this portion of scripture to say, it's okay, I believe, to ask for a witness. In Matthew 18, verse 16, "But if they will not listen," this is when we're talking about just discipline within the church, "if they won't listen, take one or two others along with you, so that by every matter it will be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." Now that principle, even though it's talking about church discipline, and after that go to the church, the principle is we want the matter to be established. So for Gideon, he was being asked to do something when he was at his weakest. He was being asked to do something when he was hiding. He was being asked to do something when he'd heard about the miracles of the past, but he hadn't experienced anything in the present. And he was being asked, and he was being told that he's a mighty warrior. He was being told that God was with him, yet he didn't feel it. And there's times where we can preach, we can proclaim the word, we can read God's scripture, and we're told time and time again that we are the head and not the tail, but there's times we don't feel like it. There are times we are saying we are victorious, and we go to church and we sing the song and we go home and we feel weak, we feel frail, and we feel empty. Well, it's the same for me and you. It's okay to go home and say, God, I want you to show me, I want you to tell me, I want you to speak to me afresh. Give me some witness, Lord, to this. So it's for such a time as this that Gideon was chosen, and I truly believe for us as a church, and I'll try and explain a bit more next week, that it's for such a time as this that we are those that are gathered here today. And some of us may feel as if we're in the wine press doing something that's clumsy and awkward. But God has a plan and he has a purpose. And yes, that plan is to prosper us and not to harm us. Because scripture tells us this in 2 Timothy 3, it says this in verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. God, when he looked into the heart of Gideon, he knew that he was thoroughly equipped for good work. When God looked into the heart of David, he knew he was thoroughly equipped for good work. When God looks into your heart, he knows that you're thoroughly equipped for good work. It's for good work that God has called us. Our works won't bring us salvation. Our faith in Christ will bring us salvation. But God has called us to work. He's called us to put together the talents and the abilities that we have. And if you are like Gideon, and you may not be, but if you are like Gideon and you go, Lord, me, I'm the weakest. I'm the smallest. I'm the most insignificant. I'm the one that struggles with this. Just to give a small part of my testimony for those that have been in the church a short while. I'm the one that couldn't read at school. I'm the one that couldn't write at school. I'm the one that got embarrassed about everything. I'm the one that used to have his knees knocking when there was conflict. I'm the one that used to fight with my mouth, but I didn't like confrontation. I'm the one that never got picked for the football team. I'm the one that thought he couldn't do anything. And what did God say? Arise, mighty warrior, at the age of 30. Go. And I am with you. And that's the same message for you. So I want to encourage you with that. He will give us everything so that we are thoroughly equipped for every good work. On the back of communion, I just slipped this portion of scripture in here, and I hope it will make sense to us as I just bring these few moments to a close. And this closes Isaiah 43, and I just want to read verse 10. It says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen." You are my witnesses. And we're talking about the nation of Israel here. It says in Isaiah 43 verse 1, "But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, and formed you, Israel. He took the man and he gave a nation. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." So God's in control, isn't he? "I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." He's talking to the nation, his chosen people. So that's relating to you and me today. Your name may not be Gideon, but God knows your name. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You belong to him." Verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." And we know what that means. He parted the sea. "When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire," and we spoke about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour." You see, this portion of scripture talks about one Saviour, and his name is Jehovah. One Saviour. "I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Whether we're talking in Old Testament or New Testament, this is still true. I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. How many times in history has the Israelite nation tried to be obliterated, wiped off the face of the earth, and yet God says, my promise will be fulfilled. It's true for them, it's true for you, it's true for me. No weapon forged against us will prosper. Every word and accusation that rises up against us will be put under our feet. Why? Because he is for us. And it's for such a time as this that we can pray afresh to God to give us his revelation. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed this, proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses and prove they are right. For that others may hear and say it is true. But you are my witnesses. You are my witnesses, God says, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. You are God's witnesses. You are the one that God's chosen. Why? I'm glad you asked, for such a time as this. But I'm struggling for such a time as this. But this is where I'm really struggling, Lord, yeah, for such a time as this. You see, stay connected to the vine, and God will give you the strength that you need. Arise, mighty warrior, is what we can say, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And apart from me, there is no Saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I and not some foreign god among you, not some piece of wood. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. From the beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega, no one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? See, if God has said it, it will come to pass. Let's finish on that. Let's just pray together. I want to remind you of what it says in Judges, where Gideon is feeling fearful and he and his people are afraid of the enemy, afraid of losing their lives, afraid of their livelihoods. And there he is found in a wine press doing something that shouldn't be done in a wine press, threshing the wheat. And God sends his angel, his word, and he says, arise, mighty warrior, for I am with you. So I want to say to us as a church, anyone who's listening, to myself, to you individually, arise, mighty warrior, for God is with you for such a time as this. So Father, we pray that you would strengthen us, enable us, empower us, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, that we may come before you with our petition, that Lord, when you speak to us, that we will ask you to speak to us again, to bear witness, so that when we know that we know, that we know that you are calling us, drawing us, asking us to go and fight, to go and stand, that we can go knowing that you are with us. So Father God, bless us, we pray, that we may be a blessing in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.